When you think about the relational aspect of the functioning of our brains, this right brain functioning takes place at a faster than conscious rate, much faster than the left side rational aspect of the brain. I'm convinced that in order to become a highly effective and skillful leader in your community as a yoga teacher, then it's also vital that you spend time developing this relational aspect of your teaching skill set. Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. There is a difference between the approach of managing a classroom experience and leading a class experience within an elevated atmosphere that is curated from the dynamic relational aspect of coming together with a deep sense of well-being and joy. Before we get too far into today's episode, remember to click the follow button if you listen to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This is a quick, easy, and free way that you can connect further with the podcast community, and it supports greatly in connecting others with being able to access this podcast. Thank you for your continued support and for being a dedicated listener. A lot of the most recent episodes have dealt a lot with teaching methodology and cultivating a solid foundation that establishes and reinforces a strong definition and understanding behind why you teach. Now, if you're listening and you're new to teaching, then this concept of teaching methodology certainly applies to you as you are in your initial phase or season of teaching, I like to call it, where you are seeking to recall and remember and actually deliver a class experience to those students that are showing up to your class. It's important as a new teacher, or maybe you're listening and you've been teaching for a while, or you have had your certification for a while, but you just haven't picked up any momentum or developed some traction teaching. Well, regardless, it's important that as yoga teachers, that if you desire to grow as a teacher, that you need to teach. As you are out there teaching and sharing the practice, then it becomes vital that you develop and adopt your own approach and teaching methodology, because that is the piece that is going to equip you and provide you endurance to carry on and do this thing called teaching yoga, and hopefully sustain this wonderful effort and worthy endeavor for an extended period of time. And my desire would be that you find yourself, like myself, a couple of decades later, still dedicated to the ongoing pursuit to teach and share the practice of yoga with others. Think about how this practice has transpired and been shared over the decades, centuries even. And if the teachers today, if we aren't diligent within our pursuits to teach and share with others and present a diligent practice for life to others that we call yoga, then it stops here. It stops with us. The legacy and lineage of sharing will end with us. How sad. Sounds quite profound, but think about it. This could happen if the teachers of today, if we aren't digging in and developing our craft and understanding for sharing the practice from a space that offers others the opportunity to develop their own understanding and ultimately shift and bring that change that we seek in the world that we know is filled with suffering, both mentally and physically. This is why it's so important that you get clear as a student, if you're listening, and as a teacher as well, on your personal understanding and experience of the yoga practice, your relationship even with the practice. Not so that you can project it upon someone else, but so that you have a clear reference point from which you live, you lead, and you teach others the tenets and theory of the practice of yoga. It will be hard, impossible even, to lead others skillfully and effectively if you have no point of reference or you have no idea where you're even leading students or you have no point of reference from which you are attempting to share and lead from. This is where the developed skill of leadership is so important for a yoga teacher. It's an integral part of teaching, yet it's not a topic or skill set that we find ourselves digging into or even being led in within our yoga teacher training experiences. Unless you get intentional within your growth strategy as a yoga teacher to develop this leadership aspect, then it will most likely not be an area of study that you'll find yourself pursuing. Can you relate to this? Is this you? Is this how you plan and prepare your classes or you prepare to teach? In order to experience success as a yoga teacher, you cannot solely rely on your technical aspect of your teaching skill set. Well, you can, but if you truly desire to grow and create sustainability and that longevity I've mentioned as a yoga teacher, then relying solely on this aspect of your teaching skill set and development will serve you for a short season of time. Teaching yoga is relational because it involves interpersonal and human encounters. As teachers, it's of great importance that we see the people we are teaching and leading as much as we see those numerous yoga poses floating around in our minds that we are trying to lead others into and through within this, what we call a yoga class practice. As we're looking and we're seeking to analyze, assess alignment, and ultimately recall the sequences we have created or we have planned. The book Rare Leadership that I've mentioned has inspired me and challenged me in my approach and teaching methodology. Now, I want a side note here. It is very important, crucial even, that in the beginning stages of being a yoga teacher, that you do hone in on the development of that technical aspect of your teaching skill set. You do need to spend time in understanding, sequencing, and that it's not random, and that how you sequence ultimately will be conveyed and convey a message within your delivery and the class experience you lead. Now, back to the challenge of this rare leadership. The challenge comes within the heightening of awareness into this relational aspect of teaching. And the inspiration comes in my own acknowledgement of being able to put better context around understanding what my role is within the facilitation of this experience that ultimately I hope draws students back to class, back to their yoga mat, and not from the vantage point of being drawn back. This greater emphasis and deep study into rare leadership is equipping me with some tangible and applicable answers and backing even into what and how I approach teaching, and that it ultimately has never been about me. You see, I felt this shift in my teaching methodology some time ago, many years ago, and now I feel like I am learning the reason behind what I guess I felt and knew, yet wasn't able to articulate quite yet. This understanding of my role to facilitate and lead from a place that isn't about me is the aspect and the fuel that has continued to equip me to move forward to share with you today from over two decades of teaching experience. The eye-opening light bulb moment, you can call it for me, has been revealed in that this is what brings people back. It's what brings students back to the class. It's what draws us closer. In fact, this is the aspect of the yoga practice that sparked my curiosity two decades ago to roll my yoga mat out and to step on and to begin. And it begins within this relational aspect and understanding. Within the last episode, I spoke of joy and the concept of returning to joy. And I also want to highlight the definition of joy, not happiness. And there is a difference. Joy is a much deeper emotion. Joy is that defining feeling of well-being deep within our soul. So then our ability to return to this state of well-being is also a powerful influence upon our understanding of how our joy levels impact our ability to lead others towards this understanding and this felt experience. Patanjali teaches us within the Yoga Sutra texts that deep within us is a well of stillness. And what that well of stillness is, I believe, is this deep state of joy, this deep state of well-being, a well that we can tap into and one that we can return to. And perhaps this is our pursuit and quest within the practice of yoga. If this is the case, if this is what becomes our deeper understanding behind why we would even want to dedicate to this disciplined practice called yoga, then as a teacher of this practice, it becomes imperative upon our effectiveness to develop the leadership qualities and habits that supports the increase of trust, engagement, and deep relational fuel called joy. From the human brain's perspective, joy is more of a dynamic relational experience. Joy is that glad to be together state that's amplified between two minds that are glad to be together at that moment. So then the question becomes, is this the type of atmosphere and environment that we are supporting as yoga teachers and creating when we step into a room to lead the yoga practice, to lead a yoga class? And if joy is also the relational fuel for transformation, then our approach towards preparing to teach should ready us to step into the classroom to hold this transformational space and hold it well, I might add. Connecting the dots even further, leadership travels at the speed of joy. I've talked about the brain functioning processes and speeds between the left side function and the right side of your brain. And as a reminder, the right side relational track is the fast track. This fast track relational functioning aspect of your brain is motivated to learn through joy. Individuals who curate and develop emotional intelligence, which emotions are that right side functioning as well, and they couple that with relational skills, well, they create joy around them. So if this is the case, and I'll add, is backed by research, then wouldn't it then be important to note the importance for us as yoga teachers to develop the right side relational function rather than relying heavily or solely even on that development that is very left side, technical, and rational aspect of teaching. And that side includes the organization, the memorization of words, and the more analytical approach to the process of teaching. Did you catch that? That focus more on process rather than the right side relational, the people. I want to share with you now, right? There's so much that I could speak to in this, but I want today to break it down and share with you now four habits that you can begin to develop and add to your growth strategy for teaching. These habits are what rare leaders exhibit. And whether you are a yoga teacher or not listening, these habits provide great value for us all as we seek to heighten our interaction with others, our relationships, and develop this integral aspect of the right side functioning of our brains, which leads us into a fuller experience, a full-brained experience even, of life and what I believe we were ultimately designed to experience along this journey of life, an experience in connection and service with each other. Using the acronym of RARE, there are four distinct habits that you can begin incorporating that will develop strong and powerful leadership as you step out into your community and within your sphere of influence, and as you go into the classroom to teach the practice of yoga, and also teach what I'll call an appropriate response to life. The changes that will come within the circumstances that are beyond our control, yet we can curate and make choices that reflect a response with appropriate action rather than reaction. This response ultimately rising up from that deep well that I've already mentioned, this space of joy, and this return to joy that is well beyond our circumstances. All right, the first habit that will support the development of RARE leadership is to remain relational. Common leaders tend to focus more on problem solving and results, very left brain functioning. RARE leaders keep relationships bigger than problems or solutions. Within this aspect of development, be real. For the yoga teacher, are you more focused on what you feel students should need or want from and within the practice of yoga? Do you project your desires, your expectations, and do you subtly reflect the practice as a solution to a problem or a performance even? The RARE leader, the RARE yoga teacher, steps back to see the individuals in the classroom and supports the experience with guidance and careful language that directs students towards discovering and developing their own autonomous practice that is sparked by curiosity and supported with kindness and appreciation within the exploration of understanding more deeply how they are being in relationship to themselves and in relationship to the practice of yoga on and off the mat, and within those relationships with others that are found off the yoga mat. Next, act like yourself. There are many reasons why people choose not to act like themselves. There are masks that we feel we need to wear and triggers that we encounter from past experiences that impact our ability to be authentic and to show up and act like ourselves. the essence of who we are, really. Acting like yourself as a yoga teacher means you own where you are as a teacher. You are you teaching yoga. As a new teacher, own it. Every season of teaching is a wonderful season and one that provides great opportunity for you to grow and develop. What happens, though, is that the ego, fear even, wants to tell us that we don't know enough, we don't have enough experience, we aren't as good as another yoga teacher, and the list goes on. And this mindset leads to putting on that mask that I just mentioned. This is that superficial confidence, even. There is no fake it until you make it. That is the opposite of acting like yourself. When you fake it, you are attempting to be something or someone that is not you. So in essence, act like yourself, be you. No one can teach like you. So don't hide behind a mask. Teach from the place that you do know. And if you have completed a training, you have enough and you are equipped with the knowledge and applied experience to teach. So go teach. You learn exponentially through the act of teaching, not the act of performing or delivering a performance or trying to be someone else. As a rare leader, when you learn to act like yourself, you create confidence in those around you. What a powerful leadership quality to develop and gift to others. The next habit to develop in this rare acronym, this rare leadership, is to return to joy. There is an important aspect to consider in the developed capacity of returning to joy. The first step to take in returning is the acceptance that you do have emotions. Remember, the emotional aspect of our being, the relational aspect, resides in this right brain functioning and is the fast track. There is a huge amount of energy that comes within this acceptance of our emotions. Within this acceptance is the understanding that we have both negative and positive emotions, and all of which make up our being. When it comes to the negative aspect, though, of our emotions and the ability and this capacity that we have to overcome what could be a controlling factor of negative emotions that can arise, within there is a freedom and maturity that is required to find forgiveness for deep wounds, strongholds, and those captive thoughts that can be deeply seated and ancestral even. The opposite of joy is anger, and so it's important that within the developed capacity to return to joy, that we acknowledge, we accept, we curate freedom, forgiveness, and maturity to release the strongholds that can keep us from becoming a joy-filled individual and ultimately a rare leader. If you're going to go in and hold this space for students within the yoga practice classroom, then yoga teacher, you need to do the same work that you'll be asking students to do. If not, you are not being authentic. You are not acting like yourself. You are becoming a performer again, putting on a mask. You are a pretender even. And when students encounter a teacher within this aspect, there will be a barrier that goes up for trust, and quite possibly the teachings of yoga will not be encountered because the teacher is in the way of this authentic encounter. Lastly, within the acronym of RARE leadership, endure hardship or adversity well. The habits of our minds are creating suffering, and this aspect of our being, of being human, answers the question of why we would even want to dedicate to a life practice such as yoga. No one likes or enjoys suffering. However, suffering and unpleasant emotions are a part of the human condition and the experience of life. These aspects cannot be avoided. And if we resolve to this understanding, then it becomes a question of how, when this occurs, will we respond? The individuals, the leaders who learn how to deal with suffering, with hardship and adversity well, become mature, and they actually become a blessing to all that are around them. An individual who has developed this appropriateness of responding well to hardship is someone who has a great deal of emotional capacity. These individuals are stable. The development of our emotional capacity is like a bridge. It's designed to withstand and carry the weight so that one might be transported to the other side of the circumstance or the situation or incident or the hardship. Our emotional capacity is also directly linked to trauma, and emotional growth can get stunted when we don't receive the unconditional love, the mentoring, and the interactions, positive interactions that support the maturation of our emotional stability. All of us have growing up to do in our lives, and in certain areas and particular areas where emotional growth feels stunted or stuck, then there's extra work to be done. But there's hope, right? There's this ability to return back to joy. When it comes to leading others and becoming this rare leader, there is a required vulnerability to show up and lead from the space and capacity of emotional maturity. To become an effective and rare leader, this is done by acknowledging and allowing our humanness to come through. The acknowledgement that we are also a work in progress, and the maturation process that we dedicate to so that others can lead authentically while also remaining relational. We don't have it all together, but we are able to organize ourselves and we are able to respond well. All of these aspects build trust, and it builds confidence within ourselves and ultimately trickles out to others. And within the yoga classroom, it is a powerful quality of leadership exuded by the yoga teacher when they encompass and they embody rare leadership. There's so much more to expand upon when it comes to the habits of rare leadership. I'd encourage you to sit with each of these qualities that I've just shared and see where your curiosity is sparked, and then dig in deeper. It matters, and it will make a huge impact on your ability to lead others and to lead them well. Finally, joy is a renewable resource. And as much as we have physical muscle memory in our bodies, we also have the capacity of emotional memory. We use our past to make sense of the experience of the present moment, and we can recall, we can return to the aspect of rewiring our emotional joy. We can replenish and practice joy ahead of time so that we have the relational fuel to pull from as we step out into our daily lives. And then as for being a yoga teacher, we step into the classroom to hold the space to lead a yoga practice experience. Relational joy is a natural means for growing and developing a strong, resilient mind. And as much as we train our physical bodies, we can train the emotional and relational aspect, which increases our capacity and that aspect that we pull from, we glean from when we feel our joy levels running low. Capacity is defined as the neurological limit for being able to act like our relational self and a physical limitation on our ability to handle emotions and stress. Our capacity can be increased by alternating strong joy and peace experience in our relationships. Joyous moments help us strengthen our brain's neuropathways as it seeks to self-organize. And for someone whose joy level is low, you then are able to borrow joy from others around you, those joy-filled individuals, through this amazing aspect of brain synchrony. As I wrap up today's episode, I'll leave you with this thought of inquiry. If joy is renewable and we have the ability and capacity to renew our joy levels and become joy-filled individuals, rare leaders, then wouldn't this be an important aspect of focus and development for those of us who teach yoga? Thank you for joining me today. I'll look forward to next time. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey. And I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.